Scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 12, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 2. John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table.
Good morning. It is great to see each of you on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's that time of year where the weather is beginning to change and we see the signs and the evidence of it all around us. It's also that time of year that people are doing some traveling. A major holiday, a major religious holiday is approaching, and people are making plans accordingly because of the time of year that it is. And the word on the street these days, it's not always the most pleasant. Things are full of strife, controversy, corruption. People are talking about how foreigners are influencing our local politics. And then there's you. Everybody's worried about this and that, but you know you just have a few days left to live. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about 2018 America. I'm talking about first century Palestine. And I'm talking about Jesus. As the Passover was approaching, this passage that Mark just read for us, I told him it's a random passage, but I intentionally chose it. It says that there are 6 days until the Passover. Jesus and his fellow Jews are making their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this most important of holidays, festivals, feast days, commemorating the time when God delivered their ancestors, Moses and his generation, from the bondage, the slavery, the yoke of the Egyptians. And here, like faithful Jews, they're making that trip, they're making that pilgrimage, and all kinds of things are going on in their society. Yeah, it was a different time, a different place, a different culture, but when you think about some of the things they were consumed with, they're a lot like the stuff that we're consumed with. They weren't all that different from us. And even though Jesus can't convince his closest followers, his disciples, that it's true, he knows that his death is imminent. He's been preparing them for it. He's been telling them things. He's going to tell them things in the days to come to prepare them for what will take place on that Friday. But they just can't believe it. But Jesus has 1 week to live. Death isn't something we like to give a lot of thought to, for good reason. Jesus actually gave it a lot of thought. And Jesus lived his last week knowing full well what was ahead for him. But what about you? What about me? If we just had 1 week left to live, how would we live it? If we were especially of sound mind and full faculties as Jesus is as he approaches Jerusalem. Sometimes we don't have that advantage, that opportunity, as we approach the end of our lives. But if we did as Jesus does, a young man, probably 33 years old, if you were in that condition, how would you live those last few days? What would you do? You know, the world tells us, in our society, our culture tells us, you know, you need to live like you were dying. Caroline reminded me, I'm not a big aficionado of country music, but Caroline reminded me that Tim McGraw a few years ago had that song, and in the chorus, it says something to the effect that you go skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, and he even rode a bull named Fu Manchu. Now, I can't believe I remembered all that, but that's the way the song goes. Now, it does say some other serious things as well, but those lines, they do reinforce the message of our culture at large. If you think this is the end of your life and you're able to, just live it up, right? Do those things that you've always wanted to do that you maybe never had an opportunity to do. Spend the last few dimes you've got doing something exciting and memorable, which, by the way, what's something memorable if you're just going to die a day or two later? Not to be too morbid, but it's true. And you take the opportunities that maybe you never took. And on a more serious note, maybe if we knew we just had a few days left, maybe we would have that conversation with a friend or a loved one that we've always intended to have, but we've been putting it off. Or maybe we would get our lives right spiritually. We would get our house in order, do the things that we always knew we needed to do, and we kept thinking there'd be another day, a later time, a more convenient season. To be honest with you, some people, if they knew they just had a few days left to live, would maybe just cower in fear. That idea of doing something exciting or thrilling, that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, well, if you know death is coming, maybe just fear grips you in such a way you can't even leave your house. There are all kinds of options. But what I want us to think about this morning is, what did Jesus do? We throw around that phrase, what would Jesus do? Sometimes we need to ask, what did Jesus do? And Jesus, knowing he just had a few days left to live, what did he do? That's what I want us to examine as we think about Scripture and we think about the life of Christ this morning. And then, hopefully, we think about us in relation to the Lord and following his example. The first thing that we see Jesus doing is that he taught. He taught others. He had 1 week left to teach. You know what's interesting? And to be honest with you, I don't give this as much thought as I should. But I was thinking about this and preparing this lesson. You know, it's a fascinating thing that Jesus was, in terms of this world standards, a rather insignificant figure. He wasn't a king. Yes, he descended from kings. He didn't come from an important family. He didn't come from money or influence or anything like that. And yet this son of a poor carpenter living in Galilee, in 3 short years of his life, became the greatest figure of all history. Regardless of what anybody believes about him, people have to agree on that. The greatest figure of all history. And he did that. He accomplished that in 3 years. And there are just 4 books that were written in the immediate aftermath of his life, about those 3 years. But you know what's really fascinating? That in those 3 years, about a third of those books are devoted to his final week. That's a really amazing thing when you think about it. And so chances are, there's a pretty good chance that if you open Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and you read about Jesus' life, you're going to be reading about something he said or did in the final days of his life. And what do we find him doing most of that week? He's teaching. He's teaching in the city of Jerusalem. He's teaching especially in the temple, in the place that was known for being God's dwelling place among the Jews. He would go out to the Mount of Olives and he would do some teaching there as well. And by the way, if you want to sort of have a timeline of Jesus' life and what takes place, when you get to the triumphal entry, that moment where Jesus, as he enters Jerusalem, people are laying down the palm branches, from that point forward is really the last week of Jesus' life and also the things that take place after the resurrection. But roughly a third of the content of the Gospels are devoted to just 1 week. And we see Jesus teaching. Yes, a lot of his teaching comes through his words, but a lot of it also comes through his example. It comes through his disciples and the onlookers throughout Jerusalem, just watching, how is this man conducting himself in these moments, and especially in those moments, the closer and closer he gets to his own death. How does he conduct himself there? And even in that example, he's teaching us something. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, verse 1, Luke, as he records this last week of Jesus' life, gives us a summary statement about his teaching. There, and if you're using one of the Pew Bibles, that's page 879. There Luke writes this. One day, and when he says one day, he doesn't just mean some random day. This does fall in a chronological fashion. In this last week of Jesus' life, one day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and scribes with the elders came up. And there one of his conversations and one of his opportunities to teach is going to take place. But what does Luke tell us here Jesus is preaching? He's preaching the gospel. And for our church, we spent the last quarter of 2017 talking about the gospel and what it entails and what it includes and helping us see in a bigger fashion all that the gospel is about. The good news being brought to earth by God Himself. That's how we described it then. And that's the very thing Jesus is talking about here. The people in the final week of Jesus' life, they don't know that He's about to be crucified. They have no idea that He's going to be raised from the dead. And that is certainly the fullest demonstration of the gospel. But what is Jesus doing in this moment? He's saying there is good news. That God remains king. That He rules and He reigns from on high. And you can still have His rule and His reign over your life. That's what Jesus is proclaiming and declaring to all the people. And even though He knows He is about to die, guess what He still believes in? He still believes in the gospel. He still believes in the good news. He still had full faith and confidence that His Father was in control. And it's that kind of faith that would allow Him to go through everything that He would experience in that final week. It was that full faith and confidence in His Heavenly Father that led Him to the cross and to know that even in spite of death, that God was still in control. That's what He was teaching people. Now, I can't help but imagine, after the events of this week, how these people who heard His teaching, how that would have impacted them on an even greater level on the other side of the cross after the resurrection. You know, a lot of times when we think about our lives or somebody else's life, maybe just having a short time remaining on earth, especially if I think about other people, sometimes we're tempted to think, well, you know, that person only has maybe a few days or a few months left to get their life right with the Lord, left to respond to the gospel, left to submit to the gospel, to obey the gospel, and give their lives to Christ by putting Him on in baptism. That's often where our minds gravitate. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. But I want to put a slightly different spin or twist on that through Jesus' perspective. The way Jesus viewed His final days was, I just have a few days left to teach. And I'm going to make the most of that. His life was right. He was prepared. And so He saw the opportunity put in His hands to proclaim the gospel to others. And while we probably don't know how many days we have left, every day that we have, every person that we come into contact with, every interaction is an opportunity to impact others in some form or fashion. Now, I acknowledge not every moment do we have an opportunity to sit down and open a Bible and preach or teach in that fashion. But we should view ourselves like Christ viewed Himself, as all having a limited amount of time and a limited opportunity to impact others for their good with the gospel. Secondly, another thing that was significant in Jesus' final week is He had 1 week left to worship. 1 week to worship His Heavenly Father. You can turn back again to John chapter 12. I won't read the passage again that Mark read. You can look at verses 12 and 13. That is the moment where Jesus is receiving a king's welcome into Jerusalem. I'll say a little bit more about this next week, but it's mind-boggling how this week unfolds for Jesus, being welcomed like a king and being crucified like a criminal. But what we need to remember is that all of these Jews are descending upon Jerusalem for worship, for Passover, to commemorate this most important of their holy days, their holidays. This would have been an opportunity to meet up with friends and family that maybe you only get to see once a year, because Jews by this time had been spread out all throughout the Roman Empire. But they are all there for a common purpose, and that is to worship. And so is Jesus. Even though Jesus knew what was going to take place at the end of that week, he still observed Passover, the Lord's Supper that we just observed. The Lord's Supper is established in the midst of the Passover meal, the Passover feast. Those emblems that we use to commemorate the body of Christ and his blood, they were emblems that were used to remember the Passover by. Jesus was worshiping in that moment. But Jesus' worship during that week was not just confined by the events and the festivities of Passover. If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, that's on page 881 in our Pew Bibles. There are little details here and there that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John include about Jesus' life, and sometimes you wonder, well, why did he include that detail and not another detail? But one of the more interesting details to me as I read about Jesus' last week is found in Luke 21, verse 37. There Luke writes, "And every day," and what he means by every day is every day during this last week, every day during Passover, "he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet." Well, that's nice to know. Jesus stayed up on the Mount of Olives. Maybe he slept under the trees. I don't know. He didn't stay in town, in the city, like a lot of other people probably did. Doesn't seem like he stayed in somebody's residence. Maybe he did. But here's what I find interesting about that note from Luke. Even though Luke does not include it here, there are four times throughout the Gospels in which the Gospel writers will say Jesus made a regular practice of going up to the mountain to do what? To pray. To commune with God. And I can't help but think that on these evenings, here he was, now imagine this, throughout the week, Jesus is going into Jerusalem and especially going into the temple to teach. And then in the evenings, and he was surrounded by people during the daytime, that's obvious. But then in the evenings, he would retreat. He would go back to one of his favorite places, the Mount of Olives. And while Luke doesn't say it here, it's hard for me to imagine that Jesus didn't spend a significant part of these evenings in prayer, in communion with his heavenly Father. Now, I can't say that for a fact, but I do know this for a fact, that Jesus' last moments as a free man, what is he doing? He is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can read about that in the next chapter, Luke chapter 22. A more detailed account is given in Matthew chapter 26. That time of intense prayer where Jesus, he knows everything that is coming. Three times he prays, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, then let thy will be done." Jesus found full comfort and solace, but also strength and resolve in communing with his heavenly Father in prayer. In John chapter 16, verse 28, John 16, 28, Jesus makes this statement. By the way, it's page 903 in the Pew Bible. John 16, 28, Jesus says, "I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." Jesus knew where he had come from. He knew where he was going. And many of us, I trust, have confidence that we know where we are going. Should our lives abruptly come to an end? Or should the Lord return? We should have such confidence. And when you think about Jesus' life, some people would say, well, here Jesus spent a significant amount of his final week in worship and a significant part of his final week in prayer, communing with the Father. And here he knows he is about to have an even greater sense of communion again with his Heavenly Father upon his death. Why do the things in your final week that you know you're going to be doing for all of eternity? Jesus would say, that's the very point. We should be doing the very things in this life, in the here and now. Whether our days be many or few, we should be doing the things and basking in the things that we anticipate and hope and look forward to when it comes to eternity. So many times we view this life as, well, I've got to squeeze all this stuff in because once I'm dead, it's going to be gone and I'm not going to have these opportunities even more anymore. That's completely 180 from the way Jesus viewed life. He would say, I'm going to do the things right now that I want to be doing forever and ever. That's the way we should view worship and our lives in general. One final thing that describes Jesus' final week is the most amazing and humbling of all. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. This is in association with the Passover meal as well, during that time of worship, but Jesus does something rather extraordinary, even to the eyes of the apostles. John 13, beginning verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. We know what follows, don't we? Jesus is going to wash the feet of his disciples, the feet of those who were not as great as him. The third and final point of our lesson this morning is that Jesus viewed his last week as 1 week left to worship, or 1 week left to serve. Now, again, thinking about the last week of your life and you're of able mind and body, and here you're now within the last 24 hours, you think, okay, here's my grand finale. What's the last meal I want to have? What's the last thing I want to be doing? For some of us, the last thing we'd ever want to do is wash somebody else's feet, right? Jesus said, here's my grand finale. I'm going to serve. I am going to seek out the best interest of others. This moment isn't about me. I'm going to use this moment to make it about those around me. Think about this. In Jesus' last hours as a free man, he makes himself a servant and slave to others. That is not what the world teaches us, is it? And yet Jesus voluntarily puts on the garments of one of the lowest types of servants and provides this service to his disciples. And who does it include? Judas. Now think about that. John makes it clear that Judas's heart has already been set on betrayal. Everything has been put in motion and is going to continue along the path towards Jesus' arrest, his unjust trial, the mockery, the beatings, the floggings, and then ultimately the crucifixion. And Judas plays a critical role in that process. And what does Jesus still do? He makes himself a servant to Judas. Continue in John 13, verse 12. John writes, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you.'" Brothers and sisters, how well have we as Christians in the 21st century taken this teaching and this example of Christ to heart? If He is our teacher, as our Lord, our Savior, and our Master, submitted Himself to the service of others, even to His enemy, to such a depth and degree, who are we to not live up to this example? And He says, this is one of the reasons why I've done this, so that you will follow after my example in your service to one another, in your service to the least of these, and yes, even in your service to your enemies. It's obvious that the apostles, Peter especially, are amazed by what Jesus is doing in this moment, but how much more do you think they were amazed after they saw Him hanging on that cross? And continuing along the path of service and sacrifice for them, for everyone else, and even for His own enemies. There you have it. That's Jesus' last week. Do you find anything remarkable about how Jesus used His last week on earth? If I were to provide an answer, I would say this: it was rather unremarkable. Unremarkable by the world standards. There's nothing about Jesus' last week in which you would say, well, that had to be some, you know, one-of-a-kind, thrilling, exciting experience like we're taught to seek out. No. Jesus just continued along the same path and trajectory of all the weeks of His life. Now, certainly this week was unique. There were special moments about it, partly because of Passover and certainly because of His pending death. But Jesus' final week was spent doing what? Teaching, worshiping, and serving. And guess what? That's how you would have described any given week of Jesus' life. And in that way, it is not remarkable. But here's the point, and I think here's the lesson for all of us. When you live out all of your days and all of your weeks along a certain trajectory, when you get to the final days and maybe even the final week of your life, guess what? You don't need to change your trajectory. You don't need to do anything different. That's the example we find in our Lord. And that's the way we all should be living. Because the truth is, we don't know how much longer we have to live. We don't know how many more opportunities we're going to be granted. But what we do have is the present. And whenever we are living, in whatever time, in whatever situation, we need to ask ourselves, is this the path that leads me to eternity? That leads me to one final passage as we conclude today's lesson. John chapter 17. This is the beginning of what's sometimes called the high priestly prayer. One of those prayers that Jesus worded as He approached His death. John 17, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given me. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, Jesus, as he approaches death, he doesn't see it as the end of opportunities. He sees it as the beginning of something far greater. He sees it as the continuation of the life that he's been seeking all throughout his days. And yes, this lesson, I've been talking about the last week of Jesus' life, but we all know something else, don't we? This isn't the last week of his life. Yes, he's going to experience physical death. And 3 days later, he's going to experience a greater sense of life. And he's never going to die again. He's going to usher in the opportunity of eternal life. But here's what I believe based on John 17:3. Jesus was already living with eternal life. Because John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they know you. Can you know God the Father right now? You certainly can. And if you do, and if you live in accordance with that knowledge, you have eternal life. And when you live with that sense of eternal life, even if you experience temporarily physical death, that life continues. The best was yet to come. And so as we look at this physical life, even if you're in your last moments, it's not something that we're counting down. It's leading to an eternal life that we're looking forward to. And so let's live out our days as the Father would want us to, and as eternal life brings hope into our hearts. This morning, the truth is we don't know how many days, how many weeks we have left. But you do have right now to make the most of this moment. And if you have never given your life to the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, by putting Jesus on in baptism, recognizing that He alone can save you from yourself, from this world, from your sins, and from physical death, that by His resurrection, we have life everlasting. If you've never responded to the good news and given your life to the Lord, right now, this moment, is the perfect time to do so. For those of us who are Christians, let us live in the present how we would live the last day, the last week of our lives. Let us make the most. And if you haven't been making the most of your life and the opportunities that God has given you, right now is a time to turn your life around. If you need the church to pray with you, to encourage you, to give you support, or you just have something heavy on your heart that you need to share with us, right now is the best time to do so while we stand and sing.